And I'm blessed to be a part of that. And, you know, we wouldn't be here without our mothers. Yeah, for sure. They're indispensable. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure thankful for my mother. But anyway, this is just a little song I've been singing, and we'll see how it goes. So don't slip out here.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. And what a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. I'm leaning, I am safe and secure from all alarm. When I'm leaning, I'll keep leaning, I am leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how bright. Oh,
Lord, I never forget the words. Let me see. Okay, I got it. Oh, how sweet the path grows from day to day when I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how bright the path grows from day to day when I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread, and what have I to fear when I'm leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near when I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, I'll keep leaning, I am leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, I am leaning, I am leaning on the everlasting arms. Now, as you can see, I need a little practice in front of people. It's a little bit different sitting home on the couch, but that's okay. There's just a little chorus I want to sing, thinking about my mother and my grandmother. She was the one that was responsible for our family coming to Christ, because when she came to the Lord at age 42, it was the most awesome thing. She prayed for a whole year. She didn't write or didn't say, "I got saved," or anything. She just prayed for her family in Cincinnati, my mother and all her children, Annette. And the Lord moved in a very unusual way. He chose me to be the one that started going to church because of a friend asking me, and then eventually it went to our Methodist church with Brother Eddie's first pastor. I was 14 years old, and it was the most awesome thing to hear the gospel. I'd gone for a whole year to this other church, and I never had my heart touched one time that I can remember. I loved the songs. Through the songs, I my spirit was broken, and God knew I was ready. And the same little girl came and asked me to go to this little Methodist church in Elmwood on Wall Street, and she never went back with me either time. But I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I thought it was the strangest thing I'd ever heard. I thought, what is this about the blood? My mother was Catholic, and I knew a little bit, and I sat in the very last row, and every week, I had to walk all the way from Winton Terrace, or once in a while, to get a quarter to ride the bus. And I kept moving up and moving up until the Lord moved on my heart, and I got saved. Of course, what's the first thing? You want your mom and your brothers and sisters come to church, you know. And so anyway, eventually mom had all these little babies and things, but and we didn't have, my stepdad used to work on a Sunday, so. But we eventually got to church, and I think that my husband, he wasn't my husband then, but he happened to have a nice car, and he liked me, so so he started coming over, and he asked Brother Eddie, was it okay, you know, if he came and brought us to church. So that's how we started getting to church, and eventually... Oh yeah, that was the light of the young guys. His Ford. They happy memories, but anyway, then my stepdad started coming too. So, you know, and but I just look back at thinking you think one prayer, just praying, not even saying anything, just praying. But look what it did, and that taught me such a wonderful lesson. So anyway, if I can remember all the chorus, just a little chorus here.
If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voices then, so glad I would be, 'twould mean so much to me. If I could hear my mother pray again.
Thank you. And you did a wonderful job on that song, by the way. I felt the Spirit move, brother.
Praise God. If we could have the ushers, we'll receive the offering. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Joey, how about you blessing the offering today, would you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. I keep banging that there. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way, Father. Lord, we just thank you for your tender love and your sweet mercy. And we thank you, Father, that you created our mothers to be an expression even of your love and your kindness and your forgiveness and all of the things that you seem to have woven into our mothers' lives. And we just give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You know, when Charlene was talking and Geraldine said that was Brother Eddie's car, I just wanted to tell you that the way to a young man's heart is a good-looking car and a good-looking girl, two of them. I tell you, all boys love them cars, you know. And I've heard Geraldine tell that story different times about how Brother Eddie would let some of them drive his car. And he was a brave soul. but, you know, he knew how to get them. Praise the Lord. And before I get into the word here today, I'd like for Audrey to stand up for a minute, and I'd like for us all to acknowledge Audrey as being she's been our spiritual mother for a long time. And we appreciate you, Audrey, and we love you. God bless you. Did you have anything you wanted to say this morning?
I don't know. I just thank the Lord for the mother nature of God, like you were bringing up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, thank the Lord. I have a strange feeling that the mothers are still very active in all of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And because they've gone from this realm Omega. But when I think about God, who is love, I think of a circle that doesn't have any end and doesn't have any beginning. It just keeps going on and on and on. And I feel that that's exactly how mother's love is. It doesn't end just because they change houses, so to speak. It still is going on and on and on.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just preach part of my sermon for me. And you know, that's the neat thing about what God does. You know, at the shop where I work, there was a duck that built a nest right up against the wall right next to the walkway. And that duck, it started laying eggs about a month or so ago. And first it laid one, and then later on there was another one, and then there was another one, and there was another one, and they kept on laying eggs gradually. And it ended up laying 13 eggs. And I was getting ready to leave the other morning and to go out for a few minutes. And all of a sudden, I saw all these little ducks jumping around in the nest and stuff. And I was thinking, how cute. And I thought, well, I'm going to get a picture of them when I come back on my phone. Well, when I come back, Mom was sitting on them. She had went to get something to eat or something, and she was back, and she was sitting on them, and she had them all protected. And I was thinking, you know, how sweet. And then later on in the day, I was walking by the front door, and here I saw Mom walking across the driveway there, and I saw 12 little ducks following her and just scurrying along trying to stay up with Mom. And then I was watching, and she looked around, and I thought, well, I'm going to take a picture of that. So I took my phone, and I tried to get my camera up, and I went out there, and as I'd go closer, she'd pick up speed to get away from me. And they just scurried and just followed her. And, you know, I was thinking about how beautiful that even the things of creation, they show the love of God. Because God put love even in the animals for things like those little ducks. You know, it was just amazing to watch how protective she was of them and how they just knew to follow Mom anywhere she went, you know, and everything. And I was just thinking about what Audrey just said about, you know, the influence that your mothers have had on you, following you the rest of your life, and it really does. And, you know, like I told you all before when I was praying originally when the service started, you know, my mother, she was both mother and father to me because my father died when I was 4. So I didn't really know him that well. I can remember a few little things about him. But it just amazed me how that the Lord allowed even his strength to be in her. Because it's, you know, she had 4 kids and she raised us 4 by herself. And I was the youngest. And you know, I had an older brother, Wiley. He's a couple years older, Lil's husband. And, you know, we weren't always the best kids in the world. And to be honest with you, I probably got more trouble than Wiley did. And, you know, and I did. And I really created some problems for Mom at times. But she was strong enough that she disciplined me And she didn't put up with too many shenanigans when we were little. And I watched her later on with her grandkids or her great-grandkid or our grandkid, great-grandkids actually. And I thought, who is this woman? This ain't the same woman. Because she would correct us and she'd straighten us up. She'd let them get away with all kinds of stuff. And I thought, who is this woman? But you know what? Thank God that he caused her strength to step in there with the strength of a father. And she straightened us up. I mean, if we misbehaved, she got right on us. And I thank God that she did. Because I tell you what, had she not, I don't know if we would have grown up to be very strong men or very, very men of character or anything else. And I just thank God for that. And, you know, as I was thinking about what I would share with you today, You know, probably to me, one of the greatest gospel songs that was ever written came out around Christmas time. And I liked it because it was written by Mark Lowry, and it was Mary, Did You Know? And that song, it makes me cry when I even listen to it. But the first few verses of that song says, or one of the verses of that song says, Mary, did you know when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God? That's a powerful, powerful verse. And you know, I'm going to tell you that, you know, we know that God is the quickening spirit that's in everyone. He's the thing that actually makes you alive. But that verse, just, I can't hardly listen to that song without it making me cry, because you watch a mother when a little baby's born, and the first thing they do is grab that little thing up and they start kissing its face. And you think, well, they're going to kiss the poor little thing's face clean off of them. And I mean, I've watched them so many times, and you watch all of creation. Even you watch dogs or something when they have puppies, and the first thing they start doing is licking their face and licking them all over. And, you know, and if you think that God isn't in all of creation, he is. And especially in the mothers, you know, because, you know, I don't know about any of you. All I know, when I'd get hurt if I was a kid, if you run in and told mom you was hurt, or you ran in crying, the first thing she'd do is grab you up and just hug you right up to her chest, and just, you felt so safe and secure there, you know. And, you know, it's wonderful how that God put that in mothers. And like Audrey was saying, I believe that the things that your mother taught you and showed you and things are the very things that really stick with you the rest of your life. And, you know, I don't know if you all really realize that even in the book of Revelations, when it talks about he saw the church adorned as a bride coming down out of heaven, and he's talking about New Jerusalem. And really, he's talking about the church. He's talking about you all. And he said, and she was adorned as a bride. And I thought, as I thought about that, that, you know, we should be birthing people into the kingdom of God. He's already done the work on Calvary. It's already been accomplished, like Jim was saying last week. But, you know, it's up to us to have that motherhood nature of wanting to pull them up and love them and let them know how great they are. You know, most mothers, if they love you, they're not going to tell you how bad you are. They're going to talk about how cute you are and how tall you're getting and how strong you are, and they're going to build you up, you know. And, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, that song, Mary, Did You Know, like I say, that was one of the great, great gospel songs. In that verse, when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. What a verse. What a verse. And I'm going to tell you what, it's a true verse, because when you kiss those little babies, you literally are kissing the face of God, something that he created, something that's a part of him, you know. And I'm going to read you a couple quotes from a couple different people, and you might know them, and they're old-time gospel people. But the first one is from Billy Sunday. He said, the best way to beat the devil is to hit him over the head with a cradle. And I got news for you. What you say to your children when they're little has a lot to do with what's going to happen in their life from there on out. And I know that mother used to say to me, I've shared with you all before, you know, that when I was a little boy for a while, I had epilepsy for about 3 years. And, you know, the medicine and the different things that they tried to do for me didn't really do that much. And she come out of the back room one time after praying, and she told me, she said, son, if I know the voice of the Lord, you're not going to have any more seizures, because God told me he's healing you. And I thought, okay. And, you know, it was a process, and he did heal me. I never had another seizure, but I went through a lot of struggles feeling like I was going to have seizures for years. But she'd always tell me, she'd say, son, she'd say, don't get too entangled with the world, because God's going to require some things of you someday. I hate it when she said that to me. I used to hate that because I'd think, yeah, sure, you know. And she'd say that to me over and over again. And you know what? She was right. And I got news for you. The things that you speak into your children, those are the very things a lot of times that I believe God uses mothers to speak, even a word that will cause them to develop into whatever he has for them later on in life. You know, John Wesley wrote, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." I mean, think about that. John Wesley had a tremendous impact on the world in his day. And, you know, one of the other quotes I had here is, "One of the best legacies that a father can leave his children is to love their mother." And I want to tell you, men, love your wives. Put them in a special place in your house. You know, when my kids were growing up, I always told them that when their mother spoke, that was me speaking too. And when I spoke, that was her speaking. And you can ask them, and they'll probably tell you if you'd ask them, they never seen us fight too much because we didn't fight in front of them a lot. We'd go out and fight with each other in private. But I want to tell you this. They can also tell you that the quickest way to get dad on them was to in any way disrespect mom. And I wouldn't allow that at all. And anyway, you know, as I was thinking about what I'd share with you today, I was going to share a few of these things. And then I was going to share a scripture with you. It's Psalm 85:10. And what it says here, it says, "Mercy and truth met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." I love that. That's beautiful. And I want you to know that in your life, when you came to the Lord, mercy and truth met together with you. And righteousness and his peace inside of you, they kissed each other because he gave you his righteousness. And I'm going to share a few scriptures with you here, and then I'm going to tell you a couple little stories. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them." And then in Romans 8:3-26 says, "Whom God has set forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be a just and justifier of him which believed in Jesus." And then in Isaiah 53:5, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And in Romans 8:33, it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." And I want you to know you've been justified by Jesus Christ. And that you stand in a place of justification, not by what you've done, but by what he did. He already accomplished it, like Jim was saying last week. It was excellent, the thing he shared. But I want you to know that even like a little child, you know, I've seen little children misbehave, and I've seen mothers spank them, you know, and then about 2 minutes later, they got them up in their arms, hugging on them and kissing on them and saying, "Now, honey, you can't do that." You know, I want you to know that God's love is so much greater even than that of a mother's love. His mercy is so much greater, and yet he shows us a lot of these things in the natural. And like I say, just like with them little ducks, that they had the instinct to follow their mother. Children, listen to your parents. And I'm going to tell you, even if you have parents that are not honorable parents, which I don't think there's anybody in here that does, but I'm going to tell you, even if you do, one of the Old Testament scriptures that was given with the promise was, honor your mother and your father that you might live long upon the earth. Honor them, whether they're honorable or not. If you honor them, sometimes God will bring them up to the level that they need to come up to. Praise the Lord. And it says, to him that worketh, not believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And the next scriptures I had for you was this. And this is in 1 John 3:2. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't say someday we'll be the sons of God. It says now we're the sons of God. I got news for you. When Mark was born, or when Jennifer was born, they were my son and daughter just as much that day as they are today. But they weren't all that they were going to become. And you know, that's the difference between where we're at in Christ. You are a son of God. And I'm gonna say this to the ladies too. You're a son of God too, because in Christ there's neither male nor female. You're a son of God too. You have the rights and the privileges that a son has. But you also have the responsibilities to do what the Father tells you when he tells you to do it. Praise the Lord. It says, beloved, now are you the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And you know, in the J.B. Phillips, it states that a little bit different. It says, we know that if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him. And I got news for you. Most of the time, what we walk around in life is not reality. It's the temporal world out there. And we look at the things of the natural and we think that's reality. I got news for you. That's not reality. Amen. That is going to be folded up and vanish away eventually. But when the reality really breaks forth in us, we're going to be just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. And I got news for you. You know, one of the highest compliments that a father can be paid is when someone will tell their son, well, you're just like your dad. Especially if dad's a good guy or a decent guy. You're just like your dad. Or someone will say to a girl, you're just like your mother. You know, well, if mother's a good mother, you can get no higher compliment than that. But I got news for you. He's saying to us, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, as we have bore the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The Savior, the Lord Jesus, has changed our vile bodies and make it fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. And you know what? I think Jim might have even quoted that scripture last week. I'm not sure if you did, but you talked about subduing things. And you know, it's God that's going to subdue it. He has to subdue everything in you. You can't subdue it. If you could have subdued it, you wouldn't have needed him. But I'm going to tell you what, he is going to subdue the things in you that will cause you to change. And Romans 8:11 said, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit which dwelleth in you. And I'm going to tell you what, the day that you received Jesus Christ, he quickened you. Whether you realize it or not, he quickened you. And he was always there. But he brought you to an awareness of his presence. And when he brought you to that awareness, He also is going to complete that which he started in you. That scripture you shared last week. He said, "For I am persuaded that he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it or complete it into the day of Jesus Christ." And you know what? He's going to complete that work in you. He's going to finish it. And he's going to finish it in righteousness, and he's going to finish it in peace. Now, I've got a couple quotes here I'm going to give you. And these are some famous people. And it doesn't make any difference that they're famous, but the quotes are good. John Quincy Adams said, "All that I am, my mother made me." And I got news for you. I can say of a truth, most of what I am today, a lot of it has to do with watching my mother and seeing how she loved the Lord and seeing how he met her in special ways time and time again. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Dwight L. Moody declared, "All that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." Napoleon was a sage when he said, "Let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons." Andrew Carnegie frequently acknowledged the tender interest and influence of his mother. And Andrew Carnegie was one of the richest people in the world, still magnate back in early years of America. Henry Ward Beecher once said, "The memory of my sainted mother is the brightest recollection of my early years." President McKinley provided in his will, first of all, that his mother should be made comfortable for her life. Take care of your mothers. Take care of them. Acknowledge them. Help them. Make sure that they don't want for anything. Take care of them. I'm going to tell you what, they took care of you for a long time. Long time. Julia Ward Howe, when was 91 years of age, said, "We talk of 40 horsepower. If we had 40 mother power, it would be the most wonderful force in the world." And you know what? Women can accomplish a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you what, the women are really an expression of the love of God. And God chose them to be the thing that would show us how to love someone in spite of whatever they do. And this is Dr. C.I. Scofield, Mother's Dying Prayer. And Scofield was the one that he wrote the Scofield Bible. She and her husband were believing Christians and worshiped in the Protestant Episcopal Church. From the dying mother's lips came a prayer heard by the husband and other members of the family, and that the new arrival might become a preacher of the gospel. Her dying request was kept secret. Only after Cyrus had become a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and had received a definite call to devotion in his life to the Christian ministries was he told of this touching prayer, which was so graciously answered. He remembered from his earliest childhood what his father had read the Bible to him and to the family. Thus his young life was sown in the precious seed of the Word of God. But I want to tell you, mothers, speak into your children. Speak into their lives. And as you speak into their lives, you're going to find that God does some wonderful things. But do it prayerfully. Pray about what God would have you even say to your children. And I'm going to tell you what, he'll honor your prayers. Praise God. I'm going to read you another little story here, and then I'm going to share a poem with you. It says, "None of us will know this side of eternity what kind of influence we have on others. For all of you have been discouraged because of days seemed so wasted. Take heart as you read the following." During World War II, a woman received a letter from a soldier she didn't know. His name was Murray, and he wrote from the battlefield. Murray wrote that he had once been in her Sunday school class and that she had spoken about Jesus as a hero for the boys. He mentioned the date when the woman's words had altered his whole perspective on life. And this is for you too, Cynthia. "And this day, this lady had kept a diary all of her life. She quickly turned to the date that Murray had mentioned. She learned that she had come home from Sunday school session that very discouraged and even thought about giving up teaching. The entry for that day read, "Had an awful time. The boys were so restless. I'm not cut out for this kind of thing. I had to take two classes together. No one listened except for at the end, a boy from the other class called Murray seemed to be taking it in. He knew very quiet and subdued, but I expected I was just tired. He was just tired of playing. Just as the shadows of the nameless woman had fallen across the boy's life to make the lasting impression, none of us will ever know how our lives and faith and walk will influence others around us. Mothers, you have no idea how those seeds of love and caring will impact a young life. The Bible reminds us that we should not grow weary in well-doing, because sometimes down the road, in due season, we will reap a harvest. No day is wasted when it is spent with your children. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Today may impact the life forever. What a tremendous little story. You know, I remember one time coming in and preaching on a Sunday night, and Brother Eddie had asked me to preach, and I don't think he was there that night. And I think it might have been when he broke his ankle or whatever. He wasn't there that night. And I remember coming in, and I felt like the Lord had given me a word, and I got up and I started preaching this word, and I was looking out at the people's faces, and I thought, oh my God, they're not getting it. I thought, am I even saying the things I should be saying, you know? And I'm just looking at the people, and I was kind of looking at their faces, and Scripture tells you don't look at their faces, because you don't know what's going on in their brain. They might be thinking about cutting the grass when they get home, or what they got to do when they get home. But anyway, I was thinking about that, and when I got done, I actually found myself almost apologizing for the word I had shared. I was a pretty young Christian. And then the next Sunday, one of the teenage girls came up to me and said, Brother Oscar, that word you shared last Sunday, that was for me. And I thought, how good is God that he goes after the one when maybe the 99 don't even hear what was said. They was looking around, and you know, I'm thinking, oh God, I've missed it. But you know what? That one girl. And he sent that one girl to tell me that so that I would realize when he gives you a word, it's not always for everybody in the place. Sometimes it's just for that one. Just like this lady here when she was teaching Sunday school, and she thought, oh my goodness, you know, these kids are being unruly and all this and that. But that one boy, and he wrote her that letter and told her that changed her life. Praise the Lord. Now I got a poem I'm going to share with you. And I wrote this poem for my mother years ago. And I will try not to cry as I read it. The name of the poem is called Jesus. So I didn't see the star so bright or the manger where he lay. I didn't see him in the temple or along the Jordan Bay. I didn't see the wedding feast or the water turned to wine. I didn't see the young girl rise or the man loosed that Satan tried to bind. I didn't see him as he hung on Calvary's tree or as he rose from the dead to set all captives free. But I saw him in you, mother, as I saw you kneel and pray. And I saw him in your face when there was no other way. And I saw him in you, mother, even as I broke your heart. And in the mercy and compassion that you still could impart. So on this day, I've tried to write and truly let you know that I love you, mother. I love you so. You know, I'm so glad that I wrote that for her. Because, you know, I gave it to her. And it was my Mother's Day card for her that year. And, you know, it was true. And so many times, I want you to know that you have a way greater impact than you ever can imagine on your children. And just hang in there and do what God has you do. Say what God has you say. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you speak into their lives, a lot of times God will use you to prophetically speak into their lives. We don't know what Mary said to Jesus as he was growing up. We don't have any record of that. But I'm going to tell you what, I guarantee you that it was a lot. And I guarantee you that she had a huge, huge impact, because the first miracle that he did was at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. And when they ran out of wine, she said to her son, she said, "They haven't got any wine." His first reply was, "Well, woman, what's that to me? Or mom, what's that to me?" But guess what? It was something to him, because he was supposed to do something. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe the Father spoke down inside of him and said, "Okay, listen to your mother, son." And she told the servants, "Whatever he bids you to do, you do it." And he told them to take the 6 water pots that were there and to fill them to the brim with water. And when they did that, he told them to dip it out and take it to the master of the feast. And when they did that, the water was changed into wine. And when the master of the feast drank the wine, he said, "Oh, you've saved the best for last." And I got news for you. In your life, God has saved some of the best for last. And have the impact that God wants you to have. Speak the things into people's lives that God wants you to speak. And I'm going to tell you what, he's placing a motherhood nature on the whole church. I mean, he is. And we're all part of the church. And I'm going to tell you, most of the things that you ever learned in life, the essential things, you learned them at your mother's knee. Usually she's the one that taught you how to tie your shoes. She's the one that taught you how to wash your face. She's the one that taught you how to brush your teeth. She's usually the one that taught you just about everything that you learned. And then us guys jump in there when you get a little older and start saying, "Toughen up, be a man, do this, do that." And I'm going to tell you what, if mother hadn't taught you all them essential things, you'd probably be walking around with Velcro shoes and everything else, you know, all the time, because you wouldn't be able to time and you wouldn't know how to do a lot of things. But, you know, I can't overemphasize that on this day that we should honor our mothers and that we should so appreciate them. But also we'll say to the church, be a mother to creation out there. Be a mother to creation. When you see them, love them, encourage them, strengthen them, do what you can do to help them out there. You know, it was said in Sunday school a while back that Jeffrey Dahmer, I think it was, when they executed him, they went and tried to interview his mother, and they said to her, they said something about how did she feel about that or something, and she said, "He will always be my beloved son." And I'm going to tell you, that's a mother's heart. No matter how evil he was or how many bad things, she said, "He'll always be my beloved son." And I want you to know, that's the way God is. God will always love you. He'll always be there for you. If you all close, stand up, we'll close in a word of prayer. And then, Cynthia, if you want to come and play your song, do your song, I appreciate it. But I want you to know that you know, God is so, he is so good in the sense that we don't deserve anything that he's done for us, but we don't have to deserve it. You know, your children don't deserve for you to love them. They don't deserve for you to buy them clothes. Don't deserve for you to feed them. But you do it because you love them. And that's the way God is. He gave him his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins because he loved us. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Great scripture. But you know what? That's exactly the truth. Go ahead and sing that song, and we'll close in that. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Praise the Lord. We'll close with this song.
This is a story that's told of a little boy who came into the kitchen one evening while his mother was fixing supper. And he handed her a piece of paper that he had been writing on. And after wiping her hands on an apron, she took it in her hands and read it. And this is what it said: "For mowing the yard, $5. And for making up my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. And for playing with little brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. For taking out the trash, $1. and for getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, she looked at him standing there and expecting, and 1,000 memories flashed through her mind. So she picked up the pen and turned the paper over. And this is what she wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, growing inside of me. No charge. For the nights I sat up with you, doctored you, prayed for you. No charge. For the tears and the cost, and the cost through the years, there's no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. For the nights filled with gray and the worries ahead, no charge. For advice and the knowledge and the cost of your cottage, no charge. For the toys, school, and clothes, and for wiping your nose, there's no charge, son. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge.
You know, when I think about that story, I think about the day that Jesus went to Calvary and gave his life as a ransom for me. When I think of the words, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'd like to think at the very minute that he shed his blood, my debt was paid in full. So when you add it all up, the full cost of real love is no charge.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you all go forth and have a wonderful day. Spend some time with your mothers if they're still around, and tell them how much you love them today. Because I tell you what, when they're gone, you can't tell them then. You can speak it out into the spirit realm, but it's not the same. Can't put your arms around them, give them a big hug and a kiss. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.